All right, if you turn your Bibles to Psalm 29. It's a blessing to be here with you today. Never take for granted the gathering together of God's people. I never take for granted being at church, being with the family of God, opening my Bible, reading, studying, and hearing from hearing the scriptures read, taught, singing songs to him. It's a great honor to be here today with you, and I hope you feel the same way. Psalm 29. I refer to this as the thunderstorm psalm for a couple reasons, and I'll explain that as we read when we're done here. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Take the tornado down a minute here, a little bit. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Let's read that last verse again. The Lord will give strength to His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. He gives strength to His people, and He blesses them with peace, and He does it with His voice. You see this? This is the connection. On one hand, He splits the cedars and turns them into splinters. On another hand, the little calf dances across the field. A deer gives birth. Bambi is born. And yet the Lord's voice divides the flames of fire. There's two lions in the Bible. There's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and then there's the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And many times there are dichotomies throughout the Bible. And you know, God is both the great judge and the merciful Redeemer. God here is both as both incredible destructive force and power, and yet a tremendous building force and power as well. And it's by the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, that we get both strength to live our lives and peace in our lives. That makes sense? Pretty incredible. This is the thunderstorm psalm, basically because, you know, when I think of the voice of the Lord, often I think of it as thunderous, a thunderstorm. Yet there's another, we'll talk a little bit about a different way God speaks as well, but I remember when I first became a believer, as a 16-year-old, I was learning the Word and I was reading the Psalms, and I love the Psalms. I always have everything from the first eight Psalms. A new believer is a great place to just read about the glory of God in the Psalms, the first eight, the ten Psalms. And I remember I had read through this Psalm, and there was I was over at my friend Steve Fields' house. I have to send him a copy of this message. Hi, Steve. Steve Fields' house. And we were standing right outside on his porch in the thunderstorm, just looking out there and seeing the lightning and hearing the thunder was just unbelievably overwhelming. And we both went inside and we looked at each other, and The conclusion was very obvious without any words. God is not to be trifled with. God is not to be taken or left. God is not to be looked at as an option, as I do at a buffet. God is not to be considered as one of many things I do. That's why in the very beginning of this, it says that we are to ascribe. In other words, here the word give in the original Hebrew, yapa, means ascribe or to attribute. We ascribe and attribute to him both glory and strength, fame and power, glory and strength. And it says here, give the Lord glory and strength, you mighty ones. Give to the Lord, O ye mighty ones, glory and strength. Give glory to his name, the mighty ones, the sons of the mighty God. In Psalm 89, verse 6, were the angels. And we are the sons of God now in 1 John 3, 6. We are to ascribe glory and power to his name. We are to ascribe both fame and strength to God. Both fame and strength to God. In Job chapter 37, if you would turn there, please. Psalm 37, at this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth unto the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it a voice roars, he thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. I want you to think with me this morning of this great God we know, who is our Father, this great God, creator, sustainer. He sustains the universe with the word of his mouth. He made all things, and he spoke all those things into existence. He said, let there be light. Let there be the beast of the field. Let there be, let there be. And it was, and it was good. When God speaks, it's good. And what God does with his voice is incredible. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. God did in 7 days what science has been trying to figure out for almost 7,000 years. Think of that. God did with a few sentences what all the books ever written have tried to explain. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise, the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. This is all from his voice. And why we are learning, and this is a beautiful thing about the Lord this morning. You know, while we're learning, he is very patient. And God wants us to learn his voice. God wants us to know his voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the sheep follow Christ. They follow the shepherd because they know his voice. I remember I was watching some program, and it was about sheep herding, and there was a group. They were all together in this one giant group of sheep. And one shepherd went over there and said a few words. And another shepherd went over there and said a few words. And the sheep got free from the whole crowd, and they went to their prospective shepherds by their voice. It was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. All in a big crowd. One of you says, okay, let's go. The other one said, all right, you guys, move on. Whatever words he used. Oi, 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 or however, whatever noises they make. Clicking noises with a tongue. The shepherd speaks to his sheep out of love and to lead them. As God is our shepherd, Psalm 23. And we hear his voice. And it's an incredible thing. And learning his voice, he's very patient. Turn to 1 Samuel for a moment. And you probably have seen this story before. Many of you have, but some may have not. And always remember, there are always folks in the congregation who may not know the same Bible story as you know. Sometimes I will say, okay, turn your Bible to John 3:16. Now, you may have read that a million times, but there could be someone here who's maybe reading it for the third, fourth, fifth time, maybe. By the way, I think we could read these things over and over and over, over again, never get bored. 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So here is a promise, or a problem, excuse me, that the word of God at this point in history for Israel was rare. There was no prophet. God was raising up this prophet. He was a young boy at the time. There was a priest. His name was Eli. And in verse 2 it says, it came to pass at the time when Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. Now, that would be a no-no. Not supposed to let the lamp go out in the tabernacle. Priests were supposed to make sure that fire kept burning. The light, so important, isn't it? Isn't the light incredibly important for your life? Amen? And yet here at this stage in Israel's history, there is the word of God was rare. The main guy, the main priest that lost his vision, didn't have a vision anymore, and the light was almost out. Here is God at the right moment raising up a young man, and the Lord calls out to Samuel. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. See, he's listening and he's hearing a voice and he thinks it's Eli. And it happens again. Samuel didn't know it was the Lord in verse 7, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He had to get to know the voice of God. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now Eli had two sons. I think it's Hophni and Phinehas. Those two were in trouble with God. Eli hadn't raised his boys well, yet God is giving him an opportunity here to disciple this young man and to steer him right. Sometimes we hear the voice of those that have taught us, and that's all we hear. But those who teach us need to teach us to hear the voice of the Lord. Do you understand that? You have children. And you will tell your children to clean their rooms. And they will listen with joy one day when they're 35. No, we train our children and we teach them. But as parents, we also have to teach them how to hear from God. Don't we want them to learn who God is? Don't we want them to respond to the voice of the Lord at some point? Hello? We do. And we do that by teaching them the Word of God and biblical principles and being a good example of being correctable, being humble, and being lovable, being teachable. And if we're teachable, they'll be teachable. If we humble ourselves in here, they can humble themselves in here. We need to set the tone and the example in the house. They're not all going to get it. Some of them are going to go their own way, like Eli's sons. Here's Eli, and the third time Samuel comes to him and he says, listen, I think God is calling you. And he says, go lie down, and it'll be if the Lord calls you, you will say, speak, Lord, for your prophet hears you. What does it say in verse 9? Speak for what? Who hears you? Who hears? The servant hears the voice of God. Listen to me this morning. It's a servant who will hear the voice of God. We can cry out, God, speak to me. God, show me your will. God, teach me your calling. God, help me to understand things. But if we are not his servants, if we are not serving other people and serving one another and serving the community and serving God that way, we won't hear his voice. It'll thunder and there'll be lightning and everything else, and to us it'll be just noise. But I love this story because God tries three, four times. Here he calls Samuel four times. Samuel. 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 Samuel! No, he didn't do that. But you know, it's like God called him. He just kept calling him. Calling him. God is very patient with us while we're learning how to hear his voice. In Psalm 62, verse 11, it says, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render each one according to his work. This is a beautiful psalm of David, most likely referring to the fact that God spoke once, but Israel required two tablets. I was thinking of that last night. God spoke the same commandments, gave him once. Moses went up and got a second set. God is patient. Isn't he? And then David also says, there's two things that I know. That power belongs to God. He's the origin of all power. He's the origin of all strength. And, in the original Hebrew here, he is a fountain of mercy. A fountain of mercy. To be both this incredibly awesome, powerful God from where all strength comes, and yet to be a fountain of mercy at the same time. And to know a voice like that, to know and discern his voice, to hear it as a servant of his, to be available to it, as Menzo brought up today, is a beautiful Greek word for obedience in the New Testament. It's the most widely used word for obedience, hupakuo. And it means the word hupo is under, akuo, to hear under, to submit yourself to what you hear. That's obedience. How many of you know what selective obedience is? Raise your hand if you know it. How many of you have ever had a child do the selective obedience thing? Hey, I want you to clean your room, and then they go up and they do their windows. And you go up there and they say, now, Dr. Spock, back whenever he was saying this thing, oh, great job on the windows. No, I asked you to clean your room, you clean your windows. See, submit yourself to what you hear. And as a believer, I can hear the word of God and be challenged by it. And oftentimes the cross is expressed to me through it. And I hear the word of God and it crucifies part of me. How many of you have ever had that experience? The word of God just comes and slaughters this issue in your life. There's a lot of believers who will run from that. They won't submit to the hearing of that. They won't bring themselves under the sound of those things. They don't like the sound of those things. Israel didn't like the sound of Moses teaching sometimes. It was really God. The issue wasn't with Moses. God told Moses, they don't have an issue with you. Their problem's with me. So you relax. His voice is always consistent with the Word of God. This is very important. God will never speak to you outside of the Scriptures, outside of the realm of the truth revealed in the Scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 19, sometimes God's Word doesn't come the way I expect it to come. In Psalm 19, Elijah is hiding in a cave. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all Elijah had done. So he had executed the prophets with the sword, and Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more to you also, if you make your life as the life of one of those by tomorrow at this time. Jezebel now threatens Elijah. The soulish woman and her wimpy husband. And when he saw that message, he rose and ran for his life. He's running for his life. And, you know, it says he travels and he sleeps under a broom tree, verse 5. And he's just running, he's scared. And he basically says, God, take my life. He's kind of has a death wish. And God got him something to eat. Verse 6. He's discouraged and scared, and God just supplies him something to eat. So he rose and he drank, in verse 8, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. Pretty amazing. One meal, 40 days, 40 nights. Wouldn't that be great? Imagine the weight that I could lose if I could just... And then he goes in a cave in verse 9. And he spends the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, he had stood on the mountain and fire had come down on Mount Carmel. He had killed the prophets of Baal with a sword, his men. And he's running from this one woman. The power of a woman. Ought to be a message called The Power of a Woman. You know, some guys are so scared of women. I don't know. But here it says, he's running. He's in this cave. And he says, I've been very zealous for you and for the children of Israel. And they've forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, go out and stand in the mountain before you. Behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. See, Elijah wanted this a display of some kind to get his chutzpah back. He wanted to hear God his way on his terms in that moment. But the voice of God was not in those thunders and lightnings and earthquakes and fires, but in a still small voice. It's really a picture after those 40 days and 40 nights of the change where we no longer have prophets speaking to us. We often don't have the prophet whose ministry is substantiated by miracles, as was Elijah's, and subsequently double the number of miracles in Elisha, and then others. But now we have his word and the Spirit of God and a still small voice. God doesn't always speak to us on the terms we want him to speak to us, does he? Sometimes he uses a fire. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's a donkey. Sometimes it's an enemy. Sometimes it's an Absalom. Sometimes it's a Paul. Sometimes it's a Paul. Sometimes it's a John. Sometimes it's a Barnabas. God uses different people and different messengers and different messages and different modes and moods to speak to his people. But it's always his word. And it's always important that we know God is speaking. Hebrews 3:15 says, "Don't harden your heart when you hear God's voice. Don't harden your heart." Sclerino, don't get stubborn. Don't become stubborn. Don't harden your heart in stubbornness. You know what stubbornness? Stubbornness is the habit of rebellion. Stubbornness is the habit of rebellion. I know believers who have come to this church, and I'm not saying anyone here this morning, but I've preached now for over 20 years in this pulpit. And I have seen people who were in this chapel in open rebellion against God coming for years. And you would say, well, they're here at church. They're doing great. They showed up to church. No, they're here at church. They're hearing God's word, but they have a habit of rejecting the word of God. They have a habit of stubbornness. It's a habit of rebellion. And it's in lots of different areas. I had one dear woman who refused to fellowship with other people. She was here for years. Would not fellowship with other people. She'd nod, she'd listen, she'd sing the songs, but she could never have relationships, she could never develop relationships. And no matter how much she was encouraged, how much people went after her, how much the Word of God told her, listen, don't forsake assembling of yourselves together. Learn how to fellowship. Become a disciple. Come to the Bible studies. Come to the women's meetings. Come to the Bible classes that we have. We're going to teach Hebrews in September, like we did Revelation last night. Little plug here, Hebrews in September. Come to the class. Get around other people. Go over to the pool parties with the moms. Engage. Get them. No, wouldn't do it. And yet, kind, nice lady, very nice, no, not a bad, nice person, very nice, no, stubborn rebellion. And that rebellion almost cost her her life, her physical life. It was open rebellion against God. See, we don't look at it like that. See, we think if someone's got a nice little attitude, nice spirit, no, they're not in rebellion. See, that's not what rebellion. Rebellion is when you hear God's word and you harden your heart. See, that's a stubborn, rebellious person. Do you understand this morning? When you've heard God's word over and over and over again and you won't submit your soul to it, whatever the principle is, you can be the nicest, sweetest Christian, love people. Oh, I'm going to make sacrifice here. I'm going to make a sacrifice here. I'm going to make a little sacrifice here. But you're rebelling against what God has taught you. Guess what verse that makes me think of in 1 Samuel chapter 5? To obey is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want your sacrifices if you're not obedient. Keep your sacrifice if you're not obedient. Isaiah chapter 30. So you know why I preach long sometimes? It's not my fault. It's the glare on the clock. Look, turn around, look. It's just glare. But I don't want the clock moved. During a convention I used to go to, they had a little light on the pulpit. You preach your 15-minute message, the light went on, wrap it up. I had one time after one of the messages after. You and I can meet afterwards if you want to talk, Jim. One was at one of the after meetings after one of the messages, and the pastor looked at us and said, "What are you, colorblind?" The light was red, wasn't it? Ouch. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. You wouldn't return. You wouldn't rest, so you have no quietness and no confidence. And you said no. Say that right out loud. No. Say it a little more sassy. No. You said no. For we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. And we will ride on swift horses. We're not only leaving on horses, we're leaving on swift horses. We're getting out of here in a hurry. Therefore, those who pursue you will be what? Swift. We'll see. You'll see swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five, you will flee till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord will wait. Look at that. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. What's he talking about? Well, verse 12. Therefore, says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, this iniquity will be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. See, there's a problem when I'm running from God's word. Returning and rest, you'll be rescued. See, here's what God is saying. Listen, I've spoken to you. I've given you direction. I've asked for your obedience. Just return. Well, I've been out in idolatry. Just return. I've been distracted. Just return. That's all. Just return. God is speaking to you, but you're running. You know, the lack of quietness and confidence in a person is the result of running. Hear what I just said? The lack of quietness and confidence in a person is the fact that they're running. Well, I'm here, yeah, but you're running. And God will send his little team of pursuers. Those who pursue you will be swift. We have some swift pursuers here at the church. Those who pursue you will go after you. But you know, at some point you're going to run, and God's just going to let you run. And other things will pursue you. And you, at the sight of one thing, 1,000 will flee. What's that mean? Paranoia. All kinds of issues take place. But you know what? He'll catch you because he's waiting to be gracious to you. Chapter 30, verse 20 says, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes will see your teachers. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whenever you turn to the right hand and whenever you turn to the left. See, what you're hearing today, maybe 2 years from now, you're going to hear a little voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. See, you kids, you teenagers, you youngsters, all of you, you know those Sunday school lessons that you've heard throughout your life and the things your mom and dad have taught you? You'll be walking along someday and something will be presented to you and you'll hear a voice behind you and it'll say, this is the way, walk ye in it. It's not going to be a thunderstorm, a lightning and thunder, and God's not going to open up the sky and say, don't do it! Or open up the sky and say, go that way! You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a little voice in the back of your head, something you heard in a Sunday school class or in a message or from your mom or your dad, and it's going to say, this is the way, don't go that way. This is the way, walk in it. That's the way I want you to go. Don't go over there. You remember that. Go that way. This is the way. Walk you in it. And adults, the same thing. Those of you, I don't care if you're 25 or 80. This is the way. Walk in it. You've heard it. You've heard that still, small voice. It's what's been planted in your brain by the people God has given you to help you learn. It's the folks who've discipled you. It's the people who've invested in you. It's from your own studies, but it's from your pastors. And some of us have had many pastors. I've had three excellent pastors in my life. I know there are many things that oftentimes I remember something my pastor said or something in a message or the way something was communicated to me. Or lots of times it was something said personally. I know Menzo will tell you stories. His pastor walked up to him at one point and spoke right into his life. And it was like, bang. And every one of us have had those stories that will tell you when that's taken place. But more often than not, it's not those direct open confrontations. It's the choices we make based on what we're heard. It's a choice to be obedient to God. We've heard it. Hupakuo. Will I submit to what I've heard? Will I submit to what I've heard? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. You've spoken so many things into our life. You've told us to not grow weary in well-doing. You've taught us how to love one another and to lay down our lives for the brethren. You've spoken those things to us. This is the way. And each message we hear, and each song we listen to, the voice of the Lord can bring quietness and confidence. You spoke and the world was formed. You spoke to the sea and calmed the waters. Jesus said in John 5, there will be a day when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God and come out of their tombs and live. Just at your voice. We love your voice. We love to hear it. We know when we've heard it. We know. That's the thing about believers. They know when God's touched them. They know when God has spoken. They know when they've heard something that pricks the heart. They know it. We know it. But it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to walk in it. Help us to walk in what we know. Help us, God, when we hear your voice, to walk in what we know. And maybe you're here this morning and you've heard some things that you're not walking in. Today's the day to make the change. Today's the day to say, okay, he got me. I've been riding on a swift horse. I'm getting off. Getting off my horse. I'm not going to get off my horse in front of the saloon. I'm getting off my horse, though. I'm going to get off this fast-running animal and stand before God and say, okay, Lord, have at it. I will obey. I will fill in the blank. Whatever it is that God has wanted you to do, do it. Several weeks ago, I stood here and I said, you know, if you're struggling in your soul and there's a anxiousness and fear, this is what it is. Go back to the last thing God told you to obey and obey it. Help us, God. We so much want to honor you and ascribe to you glory and power and strength and fame. And we'll do that by obeying you, by hearing your voice and walking in it. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Bless the remainder of our day. In Christ's name, amen.